When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, it is hour number 2 of the early line on a Thursday. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Thank you for joining us all across the Spiz Grizz Network. That is Sports Grid. Plenty of previews coming your way in this second hour to set the stage for the divisional round, weekend number 2 in the National Football League playoffs. The NFL's final 8 still in the hunt for the Lombardi Trophy. All the breakdowns, the previews, the picks, and the narratives to pay attention to for this second round of the NFL playoffs. So 8 teams, Donnie, still in the hunt for a Super Bowl appearance in Super Bowl 58 out in Viva Las Vegas, but 24 others already into the offseason, including 2 teams we didn't expect to be in the offseason this early on, the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. The big news overnight, Dallas is staying with Mike McCarthy. McCarthy will return for the 2024 NFL season. Not reactionary. Jerry Jones is not that. Certainly not as of late. See the decade that Jason Garrett spent at the Star, despite the humiliation, the embarrassment, the disappointment of Sunday at the Star against the Green Bay Packers. Mike McCarthy is back for the Cowboys in 2024.
Yeah, it's probably equally as important, Ben, to win football games, but also as you do that, get along with the front office and, you know, be able to take criticism, be able to take input, not just say, you know what, I want to coach my way, leave me alone and don't come down to the sidelines. You remember for years, Jerry Jones would come down to the sideline in the fourth quarter, which irked a lot of head coaches, which included Bill Parcells. But let's just say if it was my way or the highway, Mike McCarthy, and he lost the way he did against the Packers, he wouldn't be the head coach today of the Dallas Cowboys. But the fact of the matter is Jerry likes to work with him. Why? Because he will listen to Jerry Jones and take his input. Could that be a bad thing? Could that be a good thing? It doesn't matter. He's the owner. What he says is going to go. Now, getting back to the point, should Mike McCarthy have still been the Dallas Cowboys head coach moving forward? I do honestly believe he should. But also, when you lose in that devastating fashion where Jerry Jones on his cuts from the radio 2 weeks ago when the Eagles lost to the Cardinals, like, this is my dream season. I've waited for 20 years. Everything is falling into place. And also, you didn't lose that game 28-27 on a late 65-yard field goal by the Packers.
Yeah.
You lost that game in the first 15 minutes here of the first and early parts of the second quarter. It was a rout, it was over, and you were done. That's what we thought maybe some change would be spurned here. But overall, Ben, I'm not surprised that Mike McCarthy still in the fold here with the Dallas Cowboys.
I think the radio audience is still out there, so let's make sure we bring them in here to hour number two of the early line on Sirius XM Channel 159 and all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. And Donnie, I think that's an incredibly fair point because the results have to mean something given what Dallas has done in the postseason. When you get run out of your own building, 48-32, and frankly, the final score was not truly indicative of just how dominant the Green Bay Packers were in Dallas. Somebody really should be up on the chopping block. Jerry said yesterday, everybody has consequences for their actions. Himself, the front office, Mike McCarthy, the players, the rest of the coaching staff. But nobody lost the job as of yet. This was not Dallas as the 7 seed going to Green Bay as a 7-point underdog and losing by 16. This was the Cowboys with home field advantage in a 16-game home winning streak inside Jerry World as the 2 seed and a 7-point favorite against the 7 seed and the youngest ever team based on average age to see the NFL postseason in playoff history, getting run out of their own building. And that is the story for the Cowboys. It has been the story under Mike McCarthy. It has been the story for the Cowboys in the last 3 decades. Again, it bears repeating, since 1995, when Dallas won their last Super Bowl championship, the Cowboys have been in the playoffs 13 times and have not reached the NFC Conference Championship any of those 13 postseason trips. You look at the record for Mike McCarthy, 6-10 in his debut year in Dallas, and then the last 3 seasons, 12-5 each and every year, 2 NFC East divisional championships, but only a 1-3 playoff record. And that one win was last year on the road in Tampa against the very aging Tom Brady and a sub-500 Buccaneers team. At a certain point, when your expectation is championship or bust, somebody is going to have to pay for the disappointment. So Mike McCarthy is back. But Donnie, I'm not sure we've ever seen a coach placed on a hot seat as warm as Mike McCarthy's is going to be entering next season.
Yeah, and also you're right about it. There's a couple things that sort of add into it, Ben. Let's just say there was only 3 or 4 coaching jobs available out there on the open market, and we didn't have these great understanding of, okay, Jim Harbaugh does want to go pro. That's a big name here. Bill Belichick is out here on the free agent market. And you say to yourself, well, you know, okay, we could trust Ben Johnson, but I don't want to tell Ben Johnson what to do, and he's going to need his own offense. You know, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott are used to this offense here. We don't want to change it. I see that here because typically you'd say, all right, well, you just keep McCarthy and move on. But there are big names out there and guys that you know would come in and try to change that culture right away. And as I bring up Jerry Jones, the one thing that always gets interesting to me is, you know, he's getting up there in age. He wants a Super Bowl here. So him being patient is kind of interesting to watch and how much he actually likes Mike McCarthy, because McCarthy's not a second-year coach or third year. He's going to be entering into, as you said, what, his 5th year next year with the Dallas Cowboys. That's showing a lot of patience and exercise here from Jerry Jones on that aspect of it. So I am intrigued to believe that they believe in him that much where they're not going to make that move. It's okay. I want a Super Bowl. The team is ready-made. I just need the head coach to put me over the top. And also, Ben, Dan Quinn, a de facto head coach of the defense here, still interviewing with other franchises here. Does he come back? Because it felt like over the past 2 years, he could have left, but Jerry Jones gets in his ear. I'll give you an extra $1 million. You know, you get a better job opportunity down the line and stay. We'll see if Dan Quinn stays after that debacle on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely so. Dan Quinn, a front runner for the Seattle Seahawks head coaching vacancy at this point. Mike McCarthy is the 7th head coach in this 28-year run now where the Cowboys have experienced disappointment after disappointment in the NFL postseason. Not only on McCarthy, interesting to see him back. So the Cowboys are staying put with McCarthy. Will the Eagles do the same with Nick Sirianni? A meeting is set with Philly owner Jeffrey Lurie. What is that ultimate conclusion going to be?
I think Nick Sirianni is going to stay, just from those preliminary information. Again, as I said, on the exit interviews for the players, nobody was bashing Nick Sirianni on the way out, which is usually a bad sign, because the MO from the media and the fans would be like, he lost the locker room. That's the only way you can explain losing 6 out of your final 7 games, whatever it ended up to be here. But that hasn't been the case, and singing a different tune are the actual big wigs on that team saying, it's not his fault we lost. We like the guy. We'll play for him here. I think he sticks around. And right, look, you have 3 very good seasons. It's hard to make the playoffs us in 3 years, let alone even get to one Super Bowl, which he did. Yep. He deserves at least one more year to right this ship.
The emphasis for this Eagles organization is restocking the coordinated room after Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon left at the beginning of this season. Of course, there was a drop-off with Brian Johnson, Sean Desai, or Matt Patricia on the defensive side. Our sports professor, Rick Haro, is here next. Yeah, your guess is good as mine.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah.
Two questions. Anytime our sports professor Rick Haro appears here on the early line on Sports Grid. First, what is he going to say? Again, your guess is good as mine. Second, where in the world is Mr. Haro? Today, I believe he is in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Let's bring him on live right here to this Thursday on the early line. Rick, you a little chilly up here on the Northeast?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. He turns 21 today, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday to... How's that? You like that? That's the first and only moment of congratulations.
Yeah, of all the people I was hoping that did not know today was my birthday, Rick Haro topped that list. But that was well done.
Shout out
to our guy, Jesse Metzger, in the back. Another beautiful, beautiful graphic. So, Rick, what are you doing in D.C.? You didn't answer the question, though.
There's a meeting of the United States Conference of Mayors, and I'm at this all the time to kind of listen to sports policy. And the one thing they're focusing on today, even though it's 2.5 years away, is the support for the World Cup. Canada, U.S., Mexico, 2026.
Oh.
It's going to be huge. 11 cities are bidding for the World Cup, and the cities will get 1 to 3 to 5 games. FIFA will announce the schedule sometime in February. And everybody is here to talk about how they can generate enough money to cover the massive security demands and transportation and all of those things. Because remember, there will be over 6 million tourists from other countries. And one of the things everybody was talking about yesterday is, you know, we think the Super Bowl is a big deal. The economic impact of the World Cup here is going to be 7 to 10 times that. We don't even know it because we don't know what a World Cup means here. And we're going to see it. The World Cup's in 94 is much different than the World Cup now.
Donnie, you want to take this one? I feel like I've asked them a couple of questions.
There you go. Yeah, filled in perfectly here. Now, Rick, we always talk about Ricky ratings coming on here. The ratings for Peacock, 23 million people watched. So I have a two-pronged attack on this one. Ratings obviously were good here, but also the future of the NFL when you're lining up these sort of paid packages and offshoots of a cable network. Is this good for the NFL, or does the NFL see an actual market that goes, hey, you know what? We're going to do this again next year and with maybe even different networks this way.
Well, two things I want to say. First of all, let's rack this one up because it's the first time I've heard Ben Stevens defer to anybody relative to a question or dead air. That's number one. Number two is when you look at Peacock, everybody wins. NFL gets $110 million from NBC to kickstart Peacock. Peacock NBC wins a lot of money, but only 23 million people watch. Only 23. But guess what? The subscriptions of Peacock now are 30 million, and that kickstart, why? The NFL. Third is maybe even more important. Everybody sucks it up and says, oh, no, no, we're not going to pay this money. It's a $5 trial, and if anybody really doesn't like it, you get your money back or you stop it after that. That's $5 to watch that horrendous game. $5 too much, but I'm a Dolphin fan. Oh. And then finally, I walked around here yesterday, and you talk about whether free TV is going to dominate. I think there's going to be one game that they've been allowed to do to ratchet up every other network. I don't think you're going to see any more pay-per-view for playoffs. You get 2-2-2 next year, I predict. You're going to have a Monday, two of them, because every year it's going to fall on Martin Luther King Day. So you're going to have a second game, 2-2-2, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And the only people that are mad, how about the NBA? They don't catch a break. Christmas Day, this last Sunday. And now maybe the NFL intrudes on their Monday every year. We'll see.
I mean, listen, the NBA going up against the NFL, it ain't even been close. The NBA is a 24.5-point underdog, and they're not even covering the numbers. So, Rick, you alluded to that idea right there. 23 million, most streamed TV event in U.S. history, and yet it still trailed in a large way to every other playoff game. Browns and Texans, $29 million. Rams and Lions, $36 million. Packers and Cowboys on Sunday on Fox, 40 million viewers. So do you believe NFL and its TV partner NBC / Peacock will consider that playoff game in Kansas City a success looking back on the numbers?
I think the numbers may be higher ultimately once they get the ice on the remaining Nielsen boxes. They can't, you know, they're encased in ice. They say it's going to be another maybe 2 or 3 million. And in all seriousness, it's going to be one of those things where the NFL will trade off. It's a loss leader. Maybe one game in NBC's case to kickstart a streaming aspect of a network. And in the NFL's case, to make sure they bring in another outlier that may now drive up the cost of everybody. Now, I'm not planning a rumor that I haven't heard. Maybe it's Scripps. Maybe it's some other network that wants to enter the game. And what do? They pay the NFL ridiculous amounts of money to get the opportunity. Yeah.
Rick, by the way, the NFL stumbling into like a pot of gold sometimes where you don't plan on things, right? It's supposed to be you have the wild card weekend, which ended up in one Monday Night Football game. They get the second one here. Is that something that they looked at profitability-wise and say, you know what, this could work? Why don't we go 3 days of doubleheaders here as opposed to just the 2 days on the weekend? Could that happen in the future?
Well, as I said, they lucked into that window, and obviously – it's a difficult one-time-only postponement and a Monday night if it's not Martin Luther King Day. But let's remember that holiday is going to fall on Wild Card Weekend every year. And so how do you deal with taking it away from the NBA, like we said? Well, you may have 2-2-2 that are planned, not accidental. And it may be that snowstorm in Buffalo is the best thing that happened to the NBA. We're going to get in a habit of, remember when Saturday night was not a night that you sat back and planned on a legitimate legacy NFL game, Tuck Rule Saturday night, of the big-time cold-weather games Saturday night. That becomes an iconic night, and I think Monday afternoon, 4:30, Monday night, 8:15, it's 2-2-2. Get used to it.
Divisional round weekend is ahead. Rick, it's considered one of the best weekends of football all year long. Two games each on Saturday and on Sunday, and marquee matchups up and down the board. Saturday night, the 10th all-time playoff meeting between the Packers and the Niners. That is now a new record, the most ever playoff meetings between two franchises. Sunday night in Buffalo, a divisional round rematch between the Bills and the Chiefs. What do you expect the numbers to look like this week for the NFL's divisional round?
I saw that graphic snuck in last week, and whoever put Kansas City in there before that game was even played, you should be shocked, but you were right. Yeah, you were right. I expect ratings to be off the charts. I also expect that this is going to be one of the best legacy weekends for the NFL, and we'll see. I would hope that the games are closer than most of the games were last week. But the legacy shines through. I mean, Buffalo, Kansas City, what about that? You know, Green Bay, San Francisco, what about that? It's an amazing weekend, and only the NFL can produce this on a regular basis.
Rick, by the way, innovative looks here for fans here. Let's keep it in Los Angeles and take a look at the Clippers' new arena. They have something called the Wall coming in. What exactly is this?
Yeah, look, this is a mobile technology. AI is going to be part of this. You're going to have LED configurations in each seat. So he asked me, Ben, by the way, it's shaped like a basketball, if you've seen it. And Steve Ballmer and the architects outdid themselves. $2 billion arena, the Clippers, the All-Star Weekend, the Hall of Fame, the Olympics, the World Cup, SoFi, a national championship. Look, L.A. is the king of all of this. And now the Clippers may take over for the Lakers, by the way. This may be a big deal. So, obviously, birthday boy, ask me a question. And I'll take it to break and give you another Christmas present. You can go do whatever you want to during the break.
I mean, I thought you were just going to talk about the Wall and 51 uninterrupted rows of fans. But saying that L.A. is going to be a Clippers town and not a Lakers town might be rules to not have you take us to break.
And now you're
just stoking the fuel for Donnie Wrightside. All right, 20 seconds. Go. Give us a little bit of knowledge.
Knowledge on here, economic impact. Washington mayors, this is a big deal. Yeah. It's politics.
Come on.
Super Bowl impact. Cowboys keep McCarthy worth $11 billion. Want to hear more about that? Hear these guys after the break. They're coming back. They're back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The toughest job in all of sports media is following Rick Horro. But somebody's got to do it. And his name is Joe Ranieri. He joins us live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. The guy on the right is right side. That is Donnie. So, Joe, we take the early line approach with the early lines for the divisional round of the NFL postseason. Just 2 days away, four marquee matchups, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Are you excited?
I am very excited. I mean, we had a pretty good wild card weekend, pretty wild there. I mean, I think we only had one spread come into play there, and it didn't cover with Detroit. So hopefully these are a little bit more competitive, but the market is telling us not to expect a whole lot of competitiveness here early on.
This is how I know you are a pro's pro, because that was going to be my exact question. Five of the six games in Super Wild Card Weekend decided by at least two touchdowns, average margin of victory, 17.3 points per game. Only the Lions and the Rams was the only game decided by a single score, and it was just a single point. And Joe, the divisional round is often the best weekend of the NFL season when the cream rises to the top and we see marquee game after marquee game. We have two spreads at 9.5, another spread at 6.5, and only one that is under a field goal. That's out in Buffalo between the Bills and the Chiefs. So do you actually expect this divisional round weekend to be more competitive than what we saw to start off the postseason?
Well, I do. I think because, Ben, it's, I mean, let's face it, this is a quarterback's league. We talk about the NBA being a stars league, right? You got to have stars or you can't win. Well, in the NFL, if you don't have quarterback, you're not winning. You're certainly not getting to this point. There are no more frauds left in the playoffs, right? We've gotten rid of the Philadelphias. We've gotten rid of the Pittsburghs with their negative point differential. Like, all the frauds are gone, and what you have left are the eight best quarterbacks over the last 30 days of the season that we have seen. So that's a lot of points in some of these spots here to be laying against quarterbacks that have been lighting everybody up.
Headliners this weekend, Joe Ranieri. Sunday, 6:30 p.m., probably the game of the weekend. Let's get right into it. Kansas City and Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes, we know how great of a quarterback he is. It's very interesting. He's been in the league quite some time, has won multiple Super Bowls, but we've never seen him in this environment. No, not playing in Buffalo. It's actually playing a road playoff game. Currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a 2.5-point favorite for the Buffalo Bills and a total of 45.5. Weather conditions, mid-20s, no precipitation, and light winds in the forecast. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, do they move on? Or does Buffalo finally say, we got you at home in the playoffs and you ain't getting out of here?
Well, it was three, right? So we're starting to get some Kansas City money here. And, you know, we keep hearing about how this is Patrick Mahomes' first playoff, road playoff game. And yeah, like that means anything at this point in his career. It really doesn't matter where they play. However, you know, Buffalo, we have heard now over the last few years, right? If only the road could go through Orchard Park when we have to play Kansas City. Well, that road is cleared up, at least for now anyway, until it snows another 14 feet, and then it won't be so clear. but it's you got what you wanted. I'm a little concerned with the, you know, with that ER list that came out. I mean, they were carting guys off that field in the Pittsburgh game here. That secondary is rough. But the one thing we know, it's a coin flip game to me. I give the edge. I think Buffalo is going to win it. But that didn't stop me from taking Kansas City in a few different teasers here and betting Buffalo on the money line and just crack open a beer and let the best team win. Yeah. Because this much I know, it ain't going to be by more than a touchdown. It's never more than one score between these two teams. And I don't think that changes here in this game.
Buffalo had gone into Kansas City each of the past 3 years and beat the Chiefs outright in a game in Arrowhead. But the last time these two teams faced off in the playoffs, the 2021 NFL postseason. It was that wonderful divisional round game, one of the best football games we have seen in the last 15, 20 years in overtime. Mahomes to Kelce, the final blow. Josh Allen did not get an opportunity to come out onto the field offensively. Buffalo this year, under a field goal favorite, four times, a 3-1 straight up and against the spread record. The only non-cover and loss outright was the opening Monday night of the year in MetLife. With Patrick Mahomes under center, the Chiefs have only been booked as a dog 12 times in the last six NFL seasons, and they are 7-5 straight up, the only NFL team that has a winning record as an underdog outright in the last six NFL campaigns. That's the final game of the weekend, the fourth and final in the divisional round. The opening game is on Saturday in Baltimore. The number one seed in the AFC, the Ravens, Joe Ranieri, now into the mix. They play host to the Houston Texans, who they hosted the opening Sunday of this NFL regular season. Also a 9.5-point spread. The flock won by 25-9 being the final score, a 16-point margin, covered as a hefty favorite. Now a 9.5-point number here. Is the game going to be closer than that spread might say?
Yeah. So here's the deal. There are two nearly double-digit favorites this weekend. I have a feeling one of them's losing. So the question is, which one is it? And I do think this game has the best shot at making things very uncomfortable for these big favorites here. Listen, Lamar's troubles in the playoffs are well documented. We go back to what I said originally about this being a quarterback league here. And yes, while CJ Stroud is a rookie, but yeah, he wasn't supposed to get past last week, right? Wasn't that the whole thing? Like, you're not somebody, he was not supposed to win, but he won. This team, I think, defensively is the most interesting part to me, because I think they will have success in taking away what Baltimore and Lamar Jackson want to do. Now, there is some rumors that Andrews is back. He might play. He's not going to play. What's the difference? He's probably not going to be 100%, but it's a safety blanket more than anything else. I do think this one is going to be the closest of the big favorites over the weekend. Baltimore is probably going to win, but I think it's going to be a huge sweat job for those that are thinking about laying the 9, 9.5 with the Ravens here this weekend.
Yeah, cold conditions expected there in the Charm City, something that should be interesting for a dome team like C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, but they've been winning here. I don't think they're coming in with house money. I think they put up a pretty good fight here. Let's get to that second game on Saturday night here. Number one seed San Francisco 49ers taking on the Green Bay Packers, who annihilated the Dallas Cowboys. This line also, Joe, as we pointed out, 9.5 is a favorite to the San Francisco 49ers and a total of 50.5. Handicapping this game, the 49ers basically took that bye week in week 18, then had the official bye week last week. Christian McCaffrey, all systems ago. What do we see from your opinion in this game between the Packers and the 49ers?
I think we're going to see points, and I think we're going to get a lot of them in this one here. There is absolutely no doubt that over the last nine games of the season, just look at the numbers of Jordan Love. I mean, where people in Green Bay are going, Aaron who? That is how remarkable this transformation for Jordan Love has been. What LaFleur has been able to do with him in front of us, guys, in one season, during the season, we've seen this kid grow up to be a franchise quarterback. And the best part about him is he's accurate. He can throw the ball deep. And oh, yeah, by the way, he doesn't turn it over, right? So this is exactly the kind of quarterback with a bunch of young receivers. And oh, yeah, this dude named Aaron Jones, which is really the key to this game here. You can't just drop it back and think that Love is going to drop back 40 times in a game. No, 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 no. Yeah. You've got to worry about Aaron Jones, and he is going to be a handful. And on the flip side, listen, we all know, no Jair Alexander there. I don't know that they're going to try to run it as much, Shanahan. I think they're going to try to air it out with the holes in that secondary. Any which way you cut it, to me, we're getting points in this game. It's going to be maybe the highest scoring game of the weekend here. So I'm all over the over in this one.
Highest total of the weekend at 50.5. First game of the doubleheader on Sunday. The Lions hadn't hosted a playoff game since January of 1994. Now make it two consecutive weeks. The Lions will host a playoff game inside Ford Field in the Motor City. The Lions booked as a 6.5-point favorite, Joe, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's the approach to the Motor City matchup?
Yeah, so opposite of this one here. You know, it's interesting. That Detroit game was so fun. Three opening drives of 75 yards or more there for what? Detroit? All touchdowns, right? Yeah, that's great. The problem is the game stayed under. You know why it stayed under? Because after the Rams made the defensive adjustments, they kicked 154-yard field goal in the second half, and that's why the game stayed under. I am not buying that this is going to be a wild shootout indoors between these two teams. I think the defenses are the better units, and more importantly, I think Tampa's defense is the best defense there. Nobody better than Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Bucs, as a defensive-minded guy. That is why they are in this spot here. I think the defenses rue the day in that game. No way do I think we're going over the 48.5 in that game.
Now, it sounded like there was a certain sentiment in your breakdown of what we will see in Detroit that maybe the Buccaneers win outright as a 6.5-point dog in Detroit?
If Mike Evans holds on to the ball, anything is possible here. But I do think, as far as the defenses go, the best defense on that field is on the Tampa Bay side, and they're going to show why in this game.
I would agree. Jared Goff, a perfect 22 of 22 on Sunday night against the Rams when he was not pressured. I don't think it's going to be so easy against the Todd Bowles defense. Blitz, baby, blitz. What would that mean for the overall outlook the rest of the postseason? Jared Aaron will tell us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The National Football League's Elite Eight, if you will, still standing into the divisional round, just seven football games left in this NFL season in 2023. Four this weekend, two conference championships, and a Super Bowl Sunday in Super Bowl 58 out in Las Vegas. So now we look at the future forecast for the remainder of this 2023 NFL campaign. Joe Ranieri back with us for a second straight segment, live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. And Joe, we start in the AFC. The Baltimore Ravens, the number one overall seed, now into the postseason fold. They were the number one overall seed with the best record during the regular season in the NFL. The most wins this year around the league, a 13-4 mark. Baltimore booked as the favorites, plus 115. Just over a dollar in front of Buffalo, who is just over a dollar in front of Kansas City, plus 220 for the Bills, plus 330 for the Chiefs. Then a large drop-off of nearly $10 to the Texans, the fourth and longest price at 13-1. How do you evaluate the AFC title odds as we are just 48 hours away from the divisional round?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty much what we would expect at this point. You know, we've talked about these odds and these teams over the last couple of weeks there. And, you know, we said you missed the boat with Buffalo. Obviously, what you could have got them for in December was hilarious. The Chiefs are always everyone's darling. You know, there's really never going to be any value in them. I don't think the Chiefs beat the Bills, so I do think Buffalo is the team that will be facing, in all likelihood, in Orchard Park, the Houston Texans. There, I said it. So you do with that what you want. I'm just saying. Do not be shy. I told you, one of these two teams, these 9-point favorites, is losing. Don't let it shock you here. I happen to think the Ravens could very well be on the way out the door simply because how many more times do we have to see Houston be a giant pain and be way better and underappreciated and undervalued in this season and this postseason? So I don't think Green Bay can get it done. I do think the Houston Texans can win that game outright.
The hot takes would be absolutely incredible after that game with Lamar Jackson if he gets upstaged by rookie C.J. Stroud. Yep. That's why you need a passing core. I mean, we're going to hear it all the way down the line as it plays out. It should be a fun thing to watch. It's going to be wild. NFC action here for us, Joe. You take a look at the NFC Championship odds. The 49ers rightfully so the favorite at a minus 180 price, followed by the Lions at plus 310, the Packers at a plus 950, and the Buccaneers at a 10-1 price. Obviously, the 49ers with a clear path, hopefully with a 9.5-point number here for the Green Bay Packers. But you take a look at that Lions-Buccaneers game, which I know some people, including yourself, having second thoughts on how good that Lions team can actually be. And maybe you just got a quarterback that's hot in Baker Mayfield that can handle a weak component secondary there like the Detroit Lions. How are we playing the NFC championship odds in your mind here, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's really the wild card here, aren't they? And the old adage is what? Defense wins championships, right? It's a pretty damn good defense. And they're also pretty healthy for the first time in a long time here this season. And you could just tell, I mean, playing the Eagles there, if you watch the Tampa Bay Bucs defenders tackle guys, it wasn't one guy. It was five guys. I mean, that's a swarming Todd. I've seen that defense before with Todd Bowles. Those guys are on a mission. And when you can sit there and stuff the old tush push from Philadelphia there, that tells you everything you need to know about those guys in the trenches, Vita Vea and company. This is a championship quality defense here. I do think the Bucs, as a dog, are probably the one team worth taking a shot with here in the futures market.
The Buccaneers shut out the Panthers, whoop-de-doo, in their regular season finale, but that defense legit. To hold the Eagles to only 9 points, despite the offensive struggles for Philadelphia down the stretch, the Buccaneers can play the fifth best scoring defense in the National Football League all year long, allowing only about 18.5 points per game. What stands out to me in the NFC is two things. San Francisco nearly being a $2 minus money favorite before the Niners have even played a playoff game this year. What that means then for the Super Bowl 58 odds and the juxtaposition. Because the Buccaneers, Joe, it's only by 50 cents, but the Bucs have the longest price in the NFC at 10-1 behind Green Bay. And yet Tampa's only a 6.5-point dog. Green Bay is a 9.5-point dog against the Super Bowl favorites. The Buccaneers are behind the Packers by $3 in the Super Bowl 58 odds. I do find that distinction, Joe, very interesting because we're reaching the point where if you win a game, those numbers grow drastically short. So it's time to jump on a price you think might present some value at this moment.
Yeah, and you know, let's just say, who do we think are going to be facing one another here in the big game? And, you know, if the AFC, if you think it's Baltimore and it's the 49ers, it could very well be, but that's about as chalky as it's going to get. Now, history tells us it's usually, right, the number one seeds. That's usually how it happens. You know, every now and then we get a couple of, dark horses that show up. Like the Giants, did against the Patriots a couple of times. But I think this year and the level, and I don't think that this is happening by mistake here. I think the level of parity in the NFL, yes, while Baltimore and the 49ers certainly have proven to be the best of the regular season, there is everybody behind them. There is a ton of parity in this league, guys. And I think that's why somebody like a Jordan Love or a C.J. Stroud or Baker Mayfield, we could be talking about them in the divisional playoffs. We're talking about them because, quite honestly, that's how the NFL is set up at this particular point. So it would not shock me if Baltimore and or the 49ers are not in the big game, which means there's a couple of ways to make some big bucks if you're forecasting who's going to be and who ultimately is going to win the Super Bowl.
Joe, let's tie in some of those Super Bowl odds now as we take a look. The 49ers, again, the favorites here at a plus 175 price, followed by the Ravens, 270, Bills, plus 490, and the Chiefs at a 7-1 price. Let's start here. Are the 49ers being overvalued? Because there's not much of a return for a Super Bowl champion here at plus 175 before they even take the field in the playoffs.
Well, they've been the favorite forever. And, listen, it makes sense. The storyline, the narrative around the 49ers, They, you know, they were on, you know, scorched earth on a mission this year. They had to go into that game against Philadelphia last year without a quarterback, running wildcat. You know, this was their whole point this season, was to get back there and only finish the job. So it makes sense. They certainly have all the pieces to be able to do it. They got the coach. They got the experience. The quarterback's healthy. Christian McCaffrey. I mean, go down the list. There's no reason for them not to. So I get them being the big favorite. However, remember, this is not a best 4 out of 7. You know, the way the NFL works is any given Sunday, it doesn't mean the best team is always going to win. The best team is whatever the best team on the field that day is, not necessarily overall. So there is no value in the 49ers, and it also doesn't punch their ticket automatically because they are the favorite and everyone considers them to be the best team.
It is just so wild, though, at a minus 180 price already for San Francisco, optimistic to the odds makers all year long. It's like we are already booking San Francisco to Las Vegas. Who's going to win the AFC is another story. Joe, knowing that, why is the quarterback, Brock Purdy, of the San Francisco 49ers, a.k.a. the Super Bowl 58 favorites, not booked as the favorite to win the Super Bowl MVP if his San Francisco team is expected to be the one hoisting that Lombardi trophy?
It's strange, is it not? You look at it. Everybody on that list is a quarterback, right? So you got Lamar, you got Purdy, you got Josh Allen, you got Mahomes. You know, McCaffrey, I think, before you get to Ayuk. Yeah. I mean, there's three dudes on the 49ers in this on that list there that could win. I mean, what do you think they're telling you by that? There's only one dude on everyone else. But the 49ers seem to have three guys that could be considered to erupt and be the MVP at any time. Yeah, to me, it's a quarterback award. So whoever you think is going to win it correlates to that person. Obviously, if the Bills go, it's going to be Josh Allen. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. We've been here and done this before. Whatever the winning quarterback is of the Super Bowl is going to be your MVP. But it is fascinating to see the 49ers having not one, but three guys that are eligible with odds on the board right now to win the Super Bowl MVP. And yet they're not haven't beaten anybody yet. They haven't even having to play in the playoffs. And already we've got three guys to choose from.
Yeah, it's an interesting list as it goes down, because you're right, primarily and rightfully so, it's a quarterback award. But is there any way that you can sell the public on Christian McCaffrey taking down the Super Bowl MVP if the 49ers make the Super Bowl and win it, Joe?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a terrible bet. It's not a bet I would make if I'm backing the 49ers to win it all, because I have no idea. You have no idea. They're telling you. Any one of those guys can. I find it interesting that Ayuk, or, you know, is on that list, given the fact that who's throwing him the ball to become the MVP? I'm just curious. Oh, yeah, it would be Brock Purdy. So I think all bets are off if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl, if that's who you think is going to win it. I don't want anything to do with the MVP market, because it's up in the air at that point.
We have seen in the last few years two wide receivers. In the last 5 years, Julian Edelman in Super Bowl 53, Cooper Kupp in Super Bowl 56 win the award. But pretty much everybody else has been a quarterback as you look at the history of the Super Bowl MVP award. So, Joe, there is a name the finalists component on the FanDuel Sportsbook as well. The champions of the AFC and the NFC facing off in Las Vegas in Super Bowl 58. Of course, the Niners and the Ravens is the shortest price available on the board. As you look up and down this list, if San Francisco gets there, Joe, is there any chance the Niners would be the underdog in a potential Super Bowl 58 matchup? Or if San Francisco is in Las Vegas, they're at least laying a short number against everybody else of the remaining seven teams in the NFL postseason.
Well, the Ravens is the quick answer, right? Simply because we watched the Ravens dismantle the 49ers this season, and so did everyone else in a primetime spot there. So the big question is, all right, if it's not the Ravens, everybody else on that list, they're going to be a dog if they're facing the 49ers. I happen to think the Bills 49ers is not a bad look here, ultimately, to battle it all down. But the 49ers, to me, the only shot of them getting plus money in the Super Bowl is if they take on the Ravens and everybody remembers the smackdown that they received.
Yeah, it could be a very interesting narrative in the Super Bowl 58. Of course, the head coach for San Francisco then, Jim Harbaugh. Might he return to the NFL? John Harbaugh is still there for the flock. Divisional round before all of that gets underway. But the future forecast with Joe Ranieri right here on this Thursday on the early line. I hear a little birdie is telling us we'll see you later on Game Time Decisions into in-game live all access tonight.
Somebody's got to do it. So, yeah, it's either that or Frieza won't leave me alone.
Yeah, he's even off right now from the early line and still blowing up the line. That's a crazy kid. More here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out this second hour of the early line live right here on a Thursday on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and it's the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen. An exciting question, DRS, to the people out there to end out this second hour, one that will fuel some debate into the divisional round weekend of the NFL playoffs and into our third hour. Which quarterback is under the most pressure to win this weekend in the divisional round? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, which quarterback has the most pressure on them this weekend? The three listed, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy. In a pretty close race between one and two, Lamar's got about 44% of the vote. Josh Allen, just over 40% of the vote as well. Brock Purdy, a little bit shy of 16% right now, Donnie.
It's an interesting vote, and for me, it was clear cut. And we sort of started off the telecast saying, boy, oh boy, your number one seed, two-time, will be a two-time MVP. It's Lamar Jackson. This is supposed to be your pathway to a Super Bowl, much like we felt like the Dallas Cowboys. If there was a pathway to a Super Bowl, it was probably going to be this year. And you know who fell flat on their face? It was Dak Prescott in a spot that they should have won easily as a heavy favorite. You look at the lineup this weekend here, heavy favorite Lamar Jackson, 9.5 over Houston, and that's why we're finding him in first place currently. With that 44%. Yeah. Josh Allen, yes, Josh Allen has pressure. Brock Purdy, I don't see him having much pressure other than they're the number one seed and he can't lose because people want to just say, like, oh, that's why you can't be the MVP because you're a seventh round last pick of the draft type of guy. For me, I thought Lamar Jackson would actually get more of the votes than Josh Allen, though, Ben.
Narratives abound into the divisional round, and we will talk about it when hour number three starts in less than a minute because there is a lot to say based on postseason records so far in what is the expectation of breaking through this year. Hour three back in less than 55 seconds.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.